welcome to the Jukebox Podcast from WP Tavern. My name is Nathan Wrigley. Jukebox is a podcast which is dedicated to all things WordPress. The people, the events, the plugins, the blocks, the themes, and in this case, the 20th anniversary of WordPress. Today is a little bit of a departure for the podcast. It's an episode all about the last 20 years of WordPress. You're going to hear a roundtable discussion with four WordPressers talking about their thoughts on the last 20 years. It features Sarah Gooding, Aruba Ahmed, Maestro Stevens, and Jess Frick, with David Bissett as the discussion moderator. They cover many topics, and it's great to hear so many varied opinions about what's been of importance in the evolution of WordPress. If you're interested in finding out more, you can find all of the links in the show notes by heading to wptavern.com/podcast, where you'll find all the other episodes as well. And so, without further delay, I bring you David Bissett, Sarah Gooding, Aruba Ahmed, Maestro Stevens, and Jess Frick.
Well, welcome everyone. Thanks for coming. This is the one of a few podcasts to celebrate the 20th anniversary, birthday, christening, whatever it is you want to call it, of WordPress. Yes, 20 years old. It's just barely attending college at this point. Isn't that great? We have four sweet people with me here that I want to introduce tonight. We are going to do a kind of like a news draft. So we are going to pick the favorite WordPress moments of a couple of categories, and we are going to pick them so that if somebody picks something that the another person had on their list, that person that comes after them is going to pick something different. So you're going to hear unique things coming out of every one of our guests this evening. So let's start our introductions. By the way, random.org picked the order this is going in, so that I'm not playing favorites. Aruba, you are first on our panel. Tell us about yourself.
Hi, everyone. I'm excited to be here with all these lovely people. I'm Aruba. I'm a WordPress developer. I build plugins, websites, all that kind of good stuff. And I'm up here by the Rockies in Calgary, Canada.
The Rockies. All right. Next on our list is Sarah Gooding. Hello, Sarah. How you doing?
Hi, David. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes.
I'm Sarah Gooding. I'm the editor at WP Tavern. I've been there. It will be 10 years in September. I live in Florida. I moved there 2 years ago during the pandemic when my husband's job changed, and we moved down here. And yeah, still love WordPress after 20 years.
Well, work it. Yeah. You know what? Aruba, when did you first get into WordPress?
I think it was 2008 or 2009.
Okay. So about the same time as me. So I don't know. Somebody will do the math in a second. Sarah, how about you?
I think it was around 2006 for me, but that was maybe just like trying it out.
Okay. So,
but, when I started working in WordPress, it was 2008, 2009. So that's when I started
15 years.
Yeah. Making websites for clients and things like that.
So, Jess, you're up next. Can you tell us in your introduction to how long you've been with WordPress?
Absolutely. I'm Jess Frick. Thank you for having me, David. I am Director of Operations for Pressable, and I have been playing with WordPress since 2008, working professionally in it since 2010.
It's 2010. So we are... So the oldest, I'll introduce myself a second. Maestro, you're up. You're fourth in the order. It's chosen by random.org. So why don't you introduce yourself, sir?
Random.org.
Yes, I am not. Yeah.
My name is Maestro Stevens. I guess I am the preemie, the young person panel when it comes to WordPress. I started my WordPress journey. 2018.
Maestro, can you put yourself a little bit closer to the mic?
Can you hear me better now?
A little bit better, right, guys? Girls, people, humans, yes? Okay. Go ahead, Maestro. I'm sorry.
Yes. I started in 2018, so I guess the panel when it comes to WordPress. And I'm an agency owner of the Iconic Expressions.
Great. Well, yes, young whippersnapper, but that does give us a perspective, though, because us old timers like to remember the good old days. So we need some young blood. That makes me fifth in the rotation. In case you don't know me, consider yourself very fortunate. But for those who may want to learn more about me, I'm David Bissett. I've been with WordPress since about 2006 or 2007-ish. 2008 is when I founded with some help WordCamp Miami. So I was with about WordPress for about a year and a half prior to that. So that's kind of like how I do the math. I currently work at Awesomotive. I currently had a project, WP Charitable, which was acquired by Awesomotive last year. But for the longest time, I have been a freelancer. I've been an employee and owner of a number of companies, also a member of PostStatus. So I've been done a whole bunch of things. So that is our panel for this evening. So why don't we get started? And again, we are looking at the last 20 years of WordPress. So that is certainly a lot of history to cover. And of course, some of you are going to be aiming for certain years and others will be aiming for others. So I'm going to be very surprised tonight if any of us snags someone else's picks in terms of news. And what we have this evening is that we actually have three categories that we are going to try to cover this evening. And I usually don't like to give categories or themes per round. If we have time after these three, we're going to do I'll bring out your dead or whatever is left in our pockets type of a thing. But I thought with 20 years of WordPress, that is so broad to cover that it was almost impossible probably to, I wanted to make it a little bit competitive. So I kind of narrowed things down to at least three categories. So the first category that we're going to cover is a memorable WordPress release or something within a WordPress release, any WordPress release, then that was our first thing that we wanted to cover. So Aruba, let's start with you. Category WordPress releases. So what was your pick for your memorable WordPress release in the last 20 years?
That would be Thelonious WordPress 3.0, which was really the first WordPress release that I paid attention to when I first started using WordPress. And it made a big splash in the world of blogging. I remember there was this really big blog called A Beautiful Mess. They came out with this course called Blog Love Design. And it was all about like using the new 2010 theme, which is when those, 2010, those style of theming for default themes started.
Oh.
And using that to customize it and create something really cool. And you could now create custom menus for the very first time and multi-site was merged. I mean, it was a really, really intense release that paved the way for a lot of what we think of WordPress, like core default. Of course, WordPress has this sort of features. Before that, it didn't have them.
I totally forgot about multi-site. I didn't know that three, because remember prior to that, it was two separate products, which was kind of weird, right? If you wanted WordPress,
that's so weird.
You wanted to download WordPress, fine. But if you wanted to download WordPress MU, that was a separate download.
And it was like a whole thing to try to set it up. And with WordPress 3.0, it became a lot easier to make the switch if you ever wanted to turn a single site installation. It was still a process, but way easier with WordPress 3.0.
Who remembers WordPress when that came out? Jess?
Oh, yeah. Aruba stumped me on the first one.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You got sniped? Really? You were going to pick 3.0? Wow.
It's literally the first one on my list.
Oh.
Milestone released.
Incredible taste.
And a nice round number, too, which for WordPress, you can't always guarantee, right? Now, there's another round number that I'm not going to talk about that's probably pretty significant, too. But okay. So, Aruba, WordPress 3.0. Is your first pick. What in a snipe right out of the gate. So congratulations on that. All right. So, Sarah, you're up next. Memorable WordPress release.
I think probably one of the most memorable ones for me was 5.0.
Yeah, that's the other one.
Yeah. Okay. 5.0 is such a big release, especially leading up to it. All the agencies and freelancers are trying to get their themes and plugins ready so that they'd be ready to go with the, you know, with the latest and greatest that WordPress had to offer. And it was such a, it was a big leap. And then the timing of the release was like right at WordCamp US. And I think it missed some of its dates. And so they had previously identified, like if we miss this date, we're going to push it to January so that we're not doing the release while everyone's traveling. But then Matt switched it, I guess, at the last minute. He's like, no, we're going for it. And
yeah,
there was this up. There was just, you know, a huge outcry with, you know, people who were frustrated. And they're like, why do we have to push it so hard? And it was just, it was like giving birth, I think. You know, it was, you're just going through this process. And it was, of course, it's going to be difficult at times. And, you know, eventually everybody's on board and everyone's working together, releasing their tutorials, their open source stuff to help people, you know, get on board with the block editor, because it's probably the largest technical leap that our communities had to navigate of all time, I think I would say. And it was really exciting time. I mean, I was every day there were articles to write about what people were thinking and feeling at the time. And there was a lot of frustration, but also it was just something that needed to happen because our editor had been looking dated for so long, and we needed to make that big jump. So I think that's probably one of the most memorable ones for me in recent memory.
Yeah. I'm going to go on a limb for me personally, say that was probably the most controversial WordPress release, period.
Yes.
I worked for a plugin company at the time, and I was literally making changes to our plugins release to get into the repo in my hotel room. So I'll just kind of leave it at that in terms of how much stress that, and I think a lot of people were doing pretty much the same thing. So I have to say that I think the number one most stressful WordPress release was for me 5.0. I can imagine it was probably stressful for Matt and everyone else too. Most controversial though, I think at the very least for that. And I think it's still 5.0 down to this day. You just remember that the version number is just branded into my brain. So 5.0. All right, great. So now it's going to get interesting.
Sarah swiped my number two.
So Jess, can you think of a
number? It's literally the second one.
Poor Jess.
I just want to say though, for, you know, WordPress 3, what was cool was the editor changed. And that was what made me go full time in WordPress. That's when it started to be pretty enough for me to play with it.
Pretty.
And then it was pretty though, and it got prettier. I have a note here that it was 3.7 when WordPress became the most popular CMS in the world.
Huh.
Yes. According to WordPress history.
Okay, that's fine.
I think it was BuiltWith. It was through BuiltWith.
I'll take their word for it.
I'll find the link for you for the show notes. But yeah, I thought that was significant because that was just when I feel like the entire editing experience changed. But then also agreed for WordPress 5. I remember WP 101 was one of the big sponsors, and they pulled out of the show because they had to redo all their videos. It was chaos.
So to be clear, chaos. Though, are you picking, which WordPress version are you picking?
Or well, those were my two.
Oh, those were your so those two. Okay, I'm sorry.
Points. But since I can't pick either of those, I'm going to say the first all women and non-binary release of 5.6.
Ah, okay. That
I feel like we've got another one coming up too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we can't talk about the future. That's
I know. We're looking back right now. We're just looking back.
Yeah. So WordPress 5.6 was a major milestone too in terms of that, and I think it's set pretty much an example of how those are going to roll in the future, like we have a second one coming up. Did anybody here participate in that? No? Okay.
Kind of.
Well, we kind of, we were rooting for the side, but there was so much diversity in that release. I was very glad to see that, not purely from a diversity angle, but as much as just there was excitement and contribution in general because of that. And the more that you can expose contribution in general, I think the better off the WordPress project is. Even when we quote unquote went back to, after that, we went back to, for lack of a better word, a normal release or a standard release theme, which is no theme at all. It's basically a winning end to hand. So Jess, 5.6, excellent choice. Maestro, we come down to you. I'm very interested to hear what your pick's going to be, because these were the top three I could think of off the top of my head. But go ahead. I haven't been sniped officially, but because I knew there were going to be people that picked it anyway. But Maestro, what is your favorite, or what is a most memorable WordPress release for you?
I feel like I just got sniped right now, two times. Jessica hit one on the head. And you kind of alluding to one, but I'm going to go with 5.5. If we're going to go with points, let's go with the point system. I'm going with 5.5.
Okay. That's it. That's a release. Points are releases.
Points are releases, right? The point of release.
Yeah. So, oh,
I'm going to take a different direction and go with 5.5 because it was a release that I felt affected a lot of people's reason for, you know, being hired or paid for maintenance, because it involved auto updates. And once that came out, screwed up a whole bunch of people's, you know, source of income or reasoning or opportunities, because I know there was a lot of resistance and pushback when people were saying, well, I don't need you anymore because I can auto update my own site. So that's what I would say was one of the biggest ones for me.
I actually had someone who went along that same path, but fortunately they used bad plugins, so they turned those auto updates off pretty quick. It actually reminded me, and I don't know what version this is off the top of my head, but I remember when auto updating WordPress itself was a big controversy. I'll figure it out what version that was, but I remember Nason, for those of you who may remember Nason, he's still with us. He's just not with the WordPress project anymore directly. For over like a year and a half, explaining the concept of WordPress auto updating on major versions, there was a lot of controversy, pushback a little bit in terms of, do we want to auto update this much of the web? So I can understand that for plugins, right? You know, I think it's taken time because people paid for WordPress updates too. Like they'll just say, hey, can you just update? And you know, they would probably update the plugins at the same time. So yeah, but you know what? I think in this day and age, there comes a time to evolve. I think auto updates aren't on many sites for very good reasons, especially probably governmental and educational sites. But 5.6 auto updates did cause a blip in the timeline, right? So that's a good choice. I think that's pretty good. And I totally actually forgot about that.
It was WordPress 3.7 when WordPress could auto update.
See, that to me would have been my second choice, because it's now up now it's, I guess it comes down to me, my turn. That would have been my second choice, because I remember going to so many conferences, going to the conference in Arizona, that name now, I've Pagely's conference. And I'm forgetting.
In the Loop? No.
No. I think they talked about it there as well, but yeah, I'll think of it in a second. I'm just drawing a blank. Pressnomics. There you go. I think it was Pressnomics, but I do remember attending a couple of conferences and Nason was there on stage or something, trying to explain how they've been talking to a whole bunch of people about WordPress updates and auto updates, and people were scared. So, not scared, concerned, whatever word you want to throw at it. And everything's fine now. So the plugin thing is going to straighten out. But because, remember, I've been with WordPress a long time, I noticed no one went back to the 1.0 WordPress releases. So I'm going to pick WordPress 1.5, which came out in February 2005. That release came with Pages, comment moderation tools, and Kubrick. Does anybody remember Kubrick? Maestro, you probably don't. That's okay. But Kubrick.
Stanley Kubrick?
The theme was named after him, but Google Kubrick and turn on Google Images and you'll see a blue, what the internet basically looked like in terms of blogs for like 7 years, because everybody was using Kubrick when WordPress came out. This was before like the year themes came out. You'll see it. It not only that, but it also came with a new theme system. That's when WordPress themes came out in WordPress 1.5. And Matt announced themes with these words, and I quote, "In WordPress 1.5, we've created an incredibly flexible theme system that adapts to you rather than you expecting to adapt from it. You can have your entire web log," remember those words, "run through a single file just like before, or you can literally have a different template for every single different category. How far we have come from a site editor today to February 2005 when WordPress 1.5 came out." Yeah, I mean, for me, Pages was the biggest deal because this is the version, by the way, that I actually jumped on board WordPress full-time with, was WordPress 1.5. Coincidentally, because I think prior to that, I was just at the point when trying out other browsers. It was movable type. There was PHP Nuke. I forget what else was out there. But like, I needed something that I didn't need a blog. I needed something to build a client's website with. And you really couldn't do that without Pages. So when 1.5 came out, Pages was the chef's kiss back then. Really young chef's kiss back then. So anyway, my pick is WordPress 1.5. So that was round one. A little bit of more sniping than I thought was going to happen. But let's go ahead and just not waste time and move to round two. Our round two category that we picked out was, think most memorable, WordCamp. So just to clarify this for the audience, this could have been a WordCamp experience, or it could have been the WordCamp itself, maybe the atmosphere around it, the community around it, whatever. As long as it was a memorable, your most favorite WordCamp memorable experience. So Aruba, we're going to start with you on this. And sure. If anybody gets sniped on this, I'll be blown away. But go ahead, Aruba. You go ahead. Start.
Okay. I'm not sniping anyone with this one, I'm pretty sure. No, I'm like 100% sure. It would be WordCamp Calgary. So my hometown's WordCamp in 2016, which was the very first time I spoke at a WordCamp. And it was also the first time I realized that WordPress was more than just software. There was this whole community around it, and the vibe was like, it was more about more than just code. There was a lot more going on underneath the surface that you might not know unless you are participating in these kind of community events. And I feel like, and it could just be because that's when I entered the time, but that's when community efforts really started to become more of a thing in WordPress world. You know, I think the first WordCamp US was just like a year before that. And, you know, things were starting to gain steam. So for me, that was a very, very memorable time, very personally. And if it wasn't for that WordCamp, I don't even know if I would be here on this podcast. So, yeah.
I'm looking at the 2016. The theme was Make, period, WordPress, period, it's Sing, period. That was the theme of the camp.
Because our Calgary theme for that year was music. We had a city theme going on that year for a lot of stuff. And so the WordCamp sort of theme sort of fed into that as well.
Make sure when you provide me the links for all your items to include the URL to the WordCamps. I'm assuming that they still exist. This one does. WordCamp websites were so straightforward and simple back in 2016, which is really, to me, that's not that far ago. I'm getting old. It was a 2-day event on May 28th and May 29th of 2016. And this was your first.
I didn't even have a Gravatar at the time.
Do you remember your talk? They don't have your your Gravatar's missing. Yeah. Do you remember your talk?
Yeah. At the time, I think it was on theme development using Git. So like how to push your theme from your local environment to your hosting environment, but with just Git. You know, deployment was not like a very sophisticated thing in the WordPress land at that time. And I was using Git hooks to create the sort of custom workflow so you could like push everything up And that's what I did my little talk on.
Yes. It took a while to find it because shame on them. Their schedules are graphics on the WordCamp website. So I couldn't search through text. They're JPEGs. So
yes,
shame on you.
Yes, they are.
Shame on you. All right. So
hey, we were learning.
Moving on here before anything. Sarah, what is your best or most memorable WordCamp moment? Or WordCamp?
Now, does this include WordCamp announcements or just like major announcements that were done at WordCamps, or is it just meant to be your favorite?
Most memorable to you, and some people can take that as I was there when this historic thing happened, or, you know, something personal to you. Now, keep in mind what our next round will be, which I won't spoil. So if it's more closely related to that, then that's the only thing maybe. But, you know, I'm putting you on the spot here, I realize. So just go ahead and share as long as it's legit WordCamp event of some sort.
My first WordCamp was WordCamp Vancouver in I think 2012, and I was a speaker there. It was also a buddy camp, and so I was speaking about BuddyPress, and I think I talked about like how you could add little jQuery animations to make it cooler, and I can hardly remember because I was so hungover.
What year was this? What was the year was this?
This
again?
Is 2012.
Oh, so this was before the child.
Oh yeah, before I had kids. And then I think the next year was Buddy Camp Miami, or was that 2014?
Oh, don't even get me started.
And I brought my dog to that WordCamp, and it was my first time in Miami, and somebody offered me like $100,000 for my dog. Or they offered my husband, and he wanted to say yes, but he knew that I'd be so angry.
I can see why one came in second place, though.
Yes. Buddy camps were my first entrance into WordCamps. And those were the ones that I tried to make it do and really enjoyed the most. Meeting all the people I'd met through BuddyPress and in the forums and contributing. Those were very memorable for me.
I miss Buddy Camp. So if anybody who doesn't know what a Buddy Camp is basically like a conference within a conference for BuddyPress. If you don't know what BuddyPress is, go to buddypress.org, but it's software that's still maintained officially by Automattic. It is a social platform. It is the sister project. I've always considered it sister project of BBPress, which is a form plugin, but we won't go into that. But yes, we did. I forget we had for 1 or 2 years Buddy Camps in Miami too, but Vancouver 2012, where Sarah gave her first talk, can't remember because the brain cells are destroyed. So we'll have to take her word for it. That's great. I always like it. What was your favorite WordCamp? The one I can't remember.
I remember due to alcohol poisoning. I met so many people there for the first time. I met Matt Mullenweg, J Trip, and you know, like there were a bunch of lead developers there. Just back then, like WordCamps weren't huge. They were really small, and it was exciting to, you know, meet the people who are working on WordPress for real.
Yeah, back then, WordCamps are so few and far between. When you went to one, chances are most of the core contributors would be there. You know, it was because we had to travel. And the website is just as does still exist. October 13th, 2012, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Burnaby Campus, however. And by the way, when if you're listening to this, go look at these old WordCamp websites links that we're sharing, because you'll get a kick of the people that were sponsoring them too, and their logos. So if they still exist today, you get to see their old logos, and if they don't exist, you get to see who was sponsoring WordCamps back in 2012. So Sarah, yeah, WordCamp Vancouver gets my thumbs up because it's got a buddy camp attached with it. Eventually, we will get to a WordCamp in the U.S. So Jessica, is that going to be you?
It's going to be me.
Okay. What WordCamp is most memorable to you?
So I actually went outside the box on this because I didn't know how it was going to play out. And so I'm coming at it from a different side. Favorite themes and the swag that got away. Favorite themes. I absolutely loved WordCamp Orlando. I'm a fellow Floridian here.
Uh-huh.
I absolutely loved WordCamp Orlando 2015, which was Harry Potter.
Oh,
and
that's right.
And then 2018 was space with NASA.
Cool.
So yeah, definitely my favorite WordCamp themes. But then the swag that got away, I want to honor you, David. It was those WordCamp Miami lunch boxes.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Oh, no, you're going to tease me with it. I'm telling you,
I'll find it in a second.
All the cool swag everybody has, and those were the ones that I was like, I don't know where
they're within an arm's reach somewhere. Yeah, I will put a link. I'll put a link in the show notes, but I'll send it to you. We actually have I have a picture of them on my old blog. So if anybody's wasn't aware, so I'm confused. So the Harry Potter one is the one you want, right? Is your pick, right? But you're.
Well, for theme.
For theme. Oh.
For theme. The way that, you know, because most of the WordCamps will have like a cool theme. And so obviously I've got to stick with my hometown glory and go, you know, Harry Potter versus NASA tie. But for the swag that got away, definitely WordCamp Miami.
We had an 80s theme that year. That's why the lunchboxes had back. I'll see it in a second.
It was like a Miami Vice thing, right?
Yes, there were multiple lunchboxes. So it depended on what you saw. We kind of put a lot of, not to turn this into a WordCamp Miami discussion, but we put a lot of Easter eggs into our WordCamps. So if we have a theme, it's like if you didn't see the one sponsor poster of the Breakfast Club, then you didn't, you wouldn't have known about it. And it was just special for that. But yes, so we can only pick one. So I'm putting you down for Orlando 2015, but I'm very honored that your backup, that your second place was WordCamp Miami. Ooh, WordCamp Miami, what year was that? I like to say it was 2018. It was 2018, I think, for our 10th year.
But I was supposed to be there and I wasn't.
All right. Well, Maestro, so far, nobody's hopefully taken your picks. So what WordCamp would you put up as the one that you remember fondly of? Oh, wait, we can't hear you.
Since I never technically attended a WordCamp.
Not even virtually?
So I spoke at WordCamps virtually in 2021, but I didn't attend a WordCamp as a attendee.
Were you a ghost?
There, but I'm going to take it to the left a little bit. I would say, no, I was not a ghost.
Okay, but you attended. If you spoke, you attended. Yeah, you just didn't physically attend.
I didn't physically attend because that was the year that we had to virtually attend. So, it was.
So it was a seance. You attended. I mean, you were there.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Attended Northeast Ohio WordCamp in 2021. So, and what I mean by attendance, I'm talking about like I didn't just go there to go or attend. I was speaking, so that was the big part of my attendance versus just going to a WordCamp as an attendee, if that makes sense.
So that's the one who stood out. What was your talk on?
My talk for 2021 was, if I look at my notes here, it was about modern marketing for minority and underrepresented businesses using WordPress.
And was that the first one you physically attended, the one you spoke at?
Virtually.
Virtually. Yes. I'm sorry. I'm getting my.
See, that's why
my blood sugar's low. I'm fasting right now. And my doctor said as it wasn't a good idea to come on a podcast while that was going on. So forgive me, but did you speak at any virtually? Have you spoken virtually before at anything before that?
Never a WordPress specific, topic based scenario, but other things I had. Yes.
Okay. So you did. So it wasn't your first rodeo, just a little bit different speaking in front of a different audience though.
So prior to then, so I'm 36 years old. I feel like I got to put this out here.
I
feel like
I don't judge.
I'm real young here. Like you try to call me out with the Stanley Kubrick thing. So I'm saying I'm 36.
You're younger than me, sir. So you take the ball and run with it.
I'm saying this to say, I started WordPress late, so I didn't even know WordCamps existed prior to 2018, which all of you were well endowed into the WordCamp WordPress system. So
thank you.
It was totally new for me at that
time. Well, are you planning on attending another one?
Do you want me to drop a secret?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I need the ratings.
So I don't know when this is going to air. But I actually am hosting a workshop at WordCamp Europe, Athens, Greece.
Well, there you go.
Wow.
That escalated quickly.
That's why.
That's amazing. Well, congratulations. Don't say any more because we don't want to get you in trouble. So you are going to be, have you ever spoken out of the country before?
No.
Oh, so it's going to be, wow. I'm going to watch the, I'll have to find someone to point a camera at you because get you in your most nervous moment, turn it into an animated GIF because my therapist says that's what works best for me and my condition. So very good. Very well done, sir. Okay. Well, Northwest Ohio, they need some representation. So
Northeast.
Ohio. No, we don't want
to. We're serious about that now. NEO now.
We don't want to represent the Northwest. Those sons of motherless goats, those people, yes. That's a, I can't swear on this. All right. Northeast Ohio 2021 it is. And welcome to the 2020s. So, work camps on our list. So last ends with me. I'm going to go with, I didn't want to pick any work camp Miamis. I think that would have been way too easy because I've been involved in the organization of that for a decade. I will say though that work camp Miami, I think, Pat, we already mentioned 2018. If I had to pick a second place, that would have been it. We had 1,000 people at the FIU campus. That was also the same year the bridge collapsed. There was a bridge collapse at the campus. There were some, like a day before the conference, a bridge spanning over a highway collapsed that connected the school with a parking lot. It was major panic. They had to close the school. Fortunately, we were able to keep open. It was just pure madness. We had to coordinate with the WordCamp committee to make sure things were okay and communication got out and people were, it was just the first day was really a big mess and it was a sad occasion too on top of it because some people did lose their lives. But what helped deal with that is that we had over 1,100 people attend that conference, which was the largest WordCamp Miami, one of the largest non-regional work camps up to that time. I think that's the one where we did have our 80s theme. We had people dressed like various 80s stars giving talks. So we kind of had a costume contest at the same time and the swag. But since I can't pick a work camp Miami, I'm going to go ahead and pick Work Camp US 2016. This is, I'm kind of cheating a little bit by going with the, I'm going to have to edit this out.
It was the very first one, right?
Actually, I got my picks mixed. I got my picks mixed up. So anyway, don't worry, I'll edit that part out. But the WordCamp Miami 10th anniversary was fine. I will find a way to edit this to make it sound coherent. But yes, WordCamp Miami 10th anniversary, I got to pick my own WordCamp Miami as my most memorable moment. And just to repeat myself, because I'm going to edit out the part, I'm going to delete the last part. I got my WordCamps mixed. So like I said, there was an 80 theme. We had over 1,000 people come. There was that unfortunate incident, the bridge collapse. So we got off to a rough start, but everybody, we didn't have our pre-parties because of that incident, at the WordCamp Miami, but Friday, our workshops went off with a good start. We had 3 workshops. I think like a couple hundred people came to those. We had Matt show up for WordCamp Miami for the 10th anniversary. He was in the neighborhood. He decided to drop by, and we had at the very end one of the most attended closing remarks ever. We have a really great picture of it. I'll try to remember to put it in show notes. It's a really good PR picture for any WordCamp, but especially for us. We also had like a 2-day kids club, and anytime someone says like what's a good example for a kids club, and for me personally, it was that 2-day kids club that we had at WordCamp Miami, and it really, like, a lot of good things happened at that work camp from an organizer that I'm very proud of, but I will always look fondly at that 10th anniversary, the kids club or the kids workshops were the highlight because we actually split it up between young kids between, I don't know, between 5 and 10 or 5 and 12 or 6 and 12. But we had one for the teenagers, the high schoolers. And the first day on a Saturday, they actually learned how to use WordPress. But on the second day, we taught them marketing. So not only do they learning how to build WordPress websites, e-commerce websites specifically on day one, but on day two, they were taught how to market those websites. And that to me is a model for getting the younger people more interested in WordPress going forward. It's not just, this is how you blog or this is how you move a block. Yes, but you really these days especially need to teach the young people how it really applies to them. When young people, I'm going to throw out some young kids terms here, when they're on the TikToks, when they're on the Tutoots, whatever, or in the Instagrams, they're not very hard concepts or networks, right? But even more so is like, how can I use this platform either to entertain myself or how to make money or how to get myself popular, which hopefully when you get old enough, eventually turns into how can I make a living off of this or how can I use this to my advantage? And the technology comes second to those priorities, right? So our kids camp, that was the whole point of teaching kids, okay, this is how you build something, but tomorrow we're going to show you how you can market this and sell. If you want to make an e-commerce store, this is how you market it. This is how you get into the search engines, or this is how you use these plugins. This is how you create a business plan, which was actually part of the course. So anyway, WordCamp Miami, 10th anniversary. The 80s theme just ruled. I wish I had a poster, but I'll share the link in the show notes to a lot of the posters we took. Like we had a Back to the Future theme for our sponsor posters. It was just a really great time. So anyway, I digress. Hopefully I've covered over some of my mistakes and now you know what my next pick is going to be. But WordCamp Miami 10th anniversary 2018 was my pick on that. All right. So now we're in round three. And this is why we didn't do it live, people. Round three, last category, Aruba. We are going to cover now the state of the word announcements. So you didn't have to be there in person, just to clarify. You didn't have to be there in person. You didn't even have to be into WordPress at the time, technically speaking. But if there's anything historic, anything that stands out to you, the favorite Matt Mullenweg. So this is Matt. Matt was giving these in person up until COVID. So I believe his last in-person WordCamp State of the Word was 2019. And I don't think he's done in-person State of the Word since. Sarah could probably back me up on this, probably, but I think he's done virtual ones ever since starting in 2020.
And I think onward. He did. Didn't he do one in New York City or one or two? He did in New York City with a small audience. It wasn't like at a WordCamp, but it was like, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
Technically, but yeah, it wasn't attached to a WordCamp.
You're right. I misspoke. So not attached to a WordCamp. Not a WordCamp US. It used to be a WordCamp US. Tradition.
Exclusive.
Yeah. Tradition at the end, everybody would line up, get into the room, get into this big room, and people would approach the mics. Some infamous people would have questions every year. And if you, sometimes he couldn't get to all the questions. So, and then in 2020, I know he did a couple of virtual ones every year. And then I'm going to guess 2021, he probably started having them in the Tumblr office. I could be wrong on that, but it was a small audience. But ever since then, they were disconnected from WordCamps in 2019. Now, your favorite, this is the announcement. So you can pick, you all can pick the same State of the Word, but you can't pick the same announcement during the State of the Word. Those are the rules. So Aruba, in case any of that made sense, what would you like to tell us would be your favorite, most memorable State of the Word announcement or a state of the, anything mentioned at State of the Word, I should say.
So the very first WordCamp I went to that wasn't WordCamp Calgary was WordCamp US 2019. And that was very memorable for me. So it was the very first time I also saw State of the Word in person. And the thing that really I still remember to this day, and it really drove home for me what we are now doing with WordPress, was when Matt told us that the slides were all made inside Gutenberg.
Wow.
That every single one was using, and they had just sort of finished live coding it, you know, Ella one of the core contributors, she had built this plugin, and it lets you basically use reveal.js and have this block. And so each slide was just a block in this single document or Gutenberg page. And it was full screen and it had like really lovely design. It even had a little bit of animation. And it was like, wow, you know, it was such a clear demonstration of what we were capable of, what we were trying to aim for with the block editor. And I just, it was a core WordPress memory for me, for sure.
I'll try it. When you send your links, you people have done so much work enough, I really appreciate it. If you can find the video and find the timestamp to that, mm-hmm. when he made that announcement, that would be great. I almost already wanted done. At that point to have WordPress be a slide maker. I'm surprised no one has really come out with the plugin for that since, or maybe they have. But that must
there be, is a plugin.
Oh, to make slides out of?
The original plugin is in the repo, and since then there have been multiple other plugins that, you know, let you create slides with WordPress that are out there. Yeah.
Well, that's
I've done it for a presentation myself. It's really cool. It's lots of fun.
Okay. So that was WordCamp US 2019, right?
Yeah, that's right.
The last in person one. I remember mm-hmm. being in the audience. I can't remember that specifically because I was probably tweeting too fast. Okay, yes. Well, great. That's fantastic. So we have the Gutenberg. Hey, turns out these are slides announcement from WordCamp mm-hmm. US 2019. So Sarah, so you, I'm sure, covered a lot of State of the Words at the Tavern over the years. What was the one that stood out to you? Or what announcement or something brought in a State of a Word stood out to you the most?
Yeah, I usually do a write-up every year for the State of the Word. And 2014, at WordCamp San Francisco, it was the last WordCamp San Francisco, and Matt announced, this is the last time we're going to be here, and next year we're going to continue with WordCamp US. So that was like a major change. And it was kind of like WordPress was stepping into its global destiny, I felt like, because he also at that time announced that it was a big turning point for the project because the number of non-English downloads surpassed the number of English downloads of WordPress.
Yeah.
So the software is just getting more of a global user base. And he announced that basically they'd outgrown their flagship WordCamp and were moving it to a bigger one. And we outgrew IRC and we moved to Slack that year. So that was kind of a big thing. It's a major change for the project's communication tools. And at that time, I think Pi for the Future had just started. So he said during that address, this is what's going to take us from 23% to 30% or 40%.
23%.
And it was so ambitious at the time. It was, I mean, who could imagine at that time that WordPress would be 40% of the web? And it was just an exciting time to be a part. I was there at the WordCamp, there was so much energy because WordPress was growing so fast. And it was every year you're going to expect it's going to grow and grow and outpace all its competitors. And it was just a great time to start getting involved because the energy was so good at that time.
Yeah, I remember the excitement about a WordCamp US because it definitely, there wasn't anything beyond a city level at that time. Maybe a few regionals, maybe, you know, along those lines, but it was nothing on a continent. Well, that's not a continent, David. Got to go back to school. On a I country think
they
level.
might have done WordCamp Europe by then. I'm not sure.
Was WordCamp Europe first?
I think it was.
So,
and there was a bit of a rivalry for a while. It seemed like, you know, WordCamp Europe is bigger or WordCamp US is bigger, and then back and forth every year.
I remember Matt saying that he wanted WordCamp US to be bigger than that. I didn't think that was going to be possible because just on geography alone, just because Europe is just so much bigger in terms of that than a US would be able to. But yeah, so we did have WordCamp Europe, but really, regardless of size, WordCamp US is the flagship event of all the WordCamps, at least in my mind. And it's not just because of size, just because it was I think because of that day in 2014, where it's like, and I guess maybe it is a United States centric thing for me because I live in the US, but it was kind of along the lines, it seemed like that was Matt's home WordCamp. And as WordCamp US kind of progressed, taking two cities every year, was it? It was the same city 2 years in a row, move on to a different city. Matt just seemed to embrace remember the boot on stage in Memphis? He just seemed to embrace that. I mean, WordCamp US was Matt, and the two seemed pretty closely linked together. And although he did attend WordCamp Europe, I don't remember him giving a state of the word at WordCamp Europe either. Moving forward, he always did it in San Francisco and then kind of did it at US for a while. So that to me was always like the home WordCamp because Matt was always there doing his state of the word. That was the central thing. Now, of course, Europe was bigger, but it was WordCamp US that always seemed to be a special home for that. So I guess that did anybody ever attend the last one in San Francisco in 2014?
I was there.
Yeah, I was there too. I think that was the one where they had the fire alarm or the medical emergency or something too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very tightly packed in there. When Matt did his state of the word, people were sitting like I had to get like there an hour before just to be in the front row and super glue myself to the seat, which was embarrassing because I didn't bring a change of pants. So anyway, that's a different story. So it's WordCamp San Francisco 2014 when we announced WordCamp US, among all the other things that Sarah mentioned too. So that is a very memorable WordCamp and one I can appreciate because I was there. All right, Jess, keep this train going along here. What state of the word announcement sticks out in your mind?
Also exciting, but in a different way, 2018.
WordCamp US 2018?
Yes, it was as if the entire stage was surrounded by gasoline and half the audience had pitchforks. Like the tension was palpable in the room and everybody's like, oh my God, what is he going to say when he gets on the stage? And he starts with this video of people just talking about how crappy the interface was on the old WordPress. And we're like, yeah, actually he's not wrong. And then they show Gutenberg. That was when Morten got up and brought up some really reasonable questions about transparency. And I think that was the first time a lot of people really started thinking about, you know, how much transparency is there for contributors? And, you know, what do you have a say in? And honestly, like, I don't want to turn this into like a Matt fangirl moment, but honestly, that was one of the times where I most admired Matt's leadership of the project. Because I felt like he really stood in front of the team and took the bullets and then said, hey, I hear you. I feel you. Feel free to get involved and make, you know, informed opinions in our dev meetings. And we'd love to have you. But otherwise, maybe just hang out. I feel, and that's, of course, me cribbing it, but I thought that he handled it with grace and elegance. And I thought that at the end of it, people were a lot more, I feel like the vibe was a lot more relaxed and excited about the go forward. You know, most of the WordCamp had, you know, built up this tension and it definitely felt a release after that. I had been to other state of the words, but none really shined quite like that for me. Now Matt's a great leader and I'm not just saying that because he's, you know, essentially my boss. But also because he's my boss. But it really was a really great moment, I think, for the WordPress project. And that was when I really wanted to get involved into contributing. Because, you know, if you're going to cry for transparency, you should probably do something with it.
It took a lot of guts to probably get up there because, like you said, this was the same event where a couple of days before people were in their hotel rooms coordinating with teams to get their stuff ready for Gutenberg, right? Controversy going forward and the amount of discussion, because remember, you know, this was before WordCamp started. So once I think we got out of that mode of rush, hectic, hectic, like updates happening every, you know, probably on Twitter, we were just monitoring. The entire .org forums was just nuts. And Slack was nuts. I think it was Slack then, I think, right? Yeah, it was whatever form we were communicating with, it was nuts. And then WordCamp started. And then you had that, like he's taught, like that wasn't the first, that was the last thing at WordCamp US, right? So you had hallway. I remember having hallway conversations about the, and I won't go into it. I mean, it was more just nervousness than negativity, but it was just like, you know, people were on edge. And for Matt to have that state of the word and like in that kind of, it took a lot of guts to, for anybody to do that. And for anybody to ask questions. And that did lead to conversations with Morten. And then from thereafter about transparency, does anybody remember that particular feeling in the community at that time? So you're seeing some nods there. Yeah, that's okay. I wouldn't have answered that question either vocally and been on the record. That's fine. There's too much. I think people forget like how hectic it was then. And I think because of the way Matt handled that, even with probably looking back on it, I think some things maybe could have been handled better in hindsight, but you know, what, when you look back on something, how does that differ from anything else in terms of how you can handle anything better? He did make a notable comment about more transparency. Because honestly, up to that point in time, the reason why things weren't so hectic is because it's not as transparent as things are today. And that's how I looked at it. If everybody feel free to, you know, jump in here. But now that with especially Josepha, over the years being more transparent, the things on .org, I think a lot of that transparency would have taken us over time a lot slower to evolve if it wasn't for how Matt handled that. And the people asking him questions deserve as much credit as that. But that was a very difficult time too, because the media, there was a lot of media attention on that state of the word outside of WordPress too. And I'm not sure if people remember that, but I remember like news organizations, and I don't remember the ones that existed then probably don't exist now. So I don't know what. But a lot of news organizations, this was in the news. Is that the one where the mayor came on stage? I can't remember. But this was in the news. This was big news to the entire internet that WordPress, whatever market share it held at the time, has launched this Gutenberg editor. And Matt Mongwe was in the news, was on a lot of tech websites that were not WordPress related. It was a big deal. So that probably was the most media attention, media focused, hectic, nervous, ball of nerves type of state of the word that probably I can ever think of. So that was definitely one for the history book. So WordCamp US 2018 at Gutenberg.
I think all that controversy was so healthy though, because you had all these really high profile contributors and business people who were like, no, this isn't ready to ship yet. And you're giving us 3 days notice. And it was a discussion, and Matt was very present there. He was in the dev meetings, and he was back and forth. And you got to remember, like, all these people really grew up together in their careers. I mean, some of these people have a 20-year history together, you know, at least 10 or 15 years for a lot of the people who own these big businesses or have been contributing a long time. And, you know, some of them were real brave to speak up and be like, hey, this isn't cool. We don't want releases like this in the future. And, you know, it's amazing to see how the project has changed over the years, and especially Josepha has been just amazing. But these people have grown up together, and they've matured together, and the project has matured, and it's really a cool thing to watch. And I think controversies like that are good, because it means that people feel free to talk to each other. Still, it's not just some cold corporation style thing. It's a family, and people are going to speak their minds, and it's healthy. And I like that. It was an exciting time.
I'd be honest. I mean, to me, I think some people the further away we get from that moment, which is, it was 2018. So that's like 5 years from, It's a distant memory now, but I know some people look back and still with a bit of anxiety. So
I don't think 2020 and 2021 were real. So it really was just like 2 years ago.
Whenever this will always be a word can't, it'll always be a time where somebody's going to say, well, you know what, back then this happened and it wasn't great and blah, blah, blah. But it kind of like, it was definitely a growing up point in terms for the whole community. It's time to put our big person pants on. And yeah, Matt admitted some things were his decision, but they weren't right, but they were his decision. They took responsibility from him. And we have some of the things today. We have the transparency today and things today because of the conversations that came from that. So,
have more contributors now because of it. I mean, I'm one of those people who was affected. Before that, I had never contributed to WordPress before 2018. You know, the merging of Gutenberg into Core was not just a moment of like a chapter change for the software or even for the folks who were growing up. It was also a moment of, it created space for new blood, which I don't think really existed before. And I still think that, you know, we're also doing work to make contributor stuff easier for everyone. But that was for me a really big like milestone, like looking at it from as in just coming into that community at that time, like, oh, okay, I could actually do something here too. You know, I don't have to just wait for all these other people who've been here for the last like many years, the legacy folks, and wait for them to do something. I could maybe do something too. So,
and you're walking in.
That's how I remember looking into it.
Yeah. And you're walking in brand new. Like, why is everybody so nervous?
It was still nerve-wracking, right? Like, it was also one of those things that affected, it was an economic problem because it affected people's livelihoods in a very deep and impactful way that other updates didn't necessarily do, or other updates before they did create that impact, but it was almost always a little bit positive. But this one was like, it could be positive, it could be negative. It's like we took something that was like this and we said, oh, okay, it's like this now. Like, what's going on?
Took a leap.
So it's different. Yeah.
And there was also the four phases of Gutenberg and which kind of laid out the entire plan, which we are still going. We're entering phase three as we speak. So anyway, Maestro, we want to get to you. State of the word announcement or anything you want to tackle there.
I'll segue the phases of Gutenberg. I think that for myself and then Aruba, what you were saying, as far as the contributing, to like bridge them together, I think, I don't know if it was 2020 or 2021, so anybody can help me out. But I got really excited when Matt started talking about the collaboration. That was something that it was just super cool, bringing Google Docs type features, you know, to WordPress. And for me, as a new contributor, that was, in essence, I would say a part of how I feel like other people can contribute that aren't really WordPress savvy by being able to at least collaborate with other WordPressers. That was awesome. I believe it was 2020 when he was, if I'm not mistaken, the state of the word, when he mentioned it, because I started watching them after they weren't, you know, attributed to the WordCamps themselves.
Yeah, collaboration's big. We'll see if we can find the timestamp. I honestly can't remember, like the four phases were always laid out and collaboration was always phase three, but there was very little detail in the very beginning, like 2018, what those phases were actually going to be. So 2020 sounds about right, because I remember sitting virtually getting more information about the collaboration stuff. And over the years, it's gotten a little bit more detailed. But what about, well, Maestro, since you've been humbly listening to all of us yabber about our old days, what specifically about the collaboration stuff stood out to you the most? Why would you be excited about that particular phase? Why did that stick out in your mind?
Well, I felt for a while it was kind of annoying having to get permission or kick somebody out of being able to edit a page.
Ah.
That would, like that, that, hurt a lot of production time. It made people have to communicate a lot more, made you have to wait. If you are patient or not patient, it made you have to practice patience like you got kids.
I kick them out of their blogs all the time. Yeah.
Right. You know, so it was for me and for some people that I knew, it was definitely a great aspect of them being able to work alongside. And so that was different for me working with a designer and developer, the fact that they can both, like if they can both be in when he announced that, if they can both be on the same page at the same time, along with myself, and we're all kind of doing our own thing or just have to wait for each other. That to me was just invaluable because I've been using Google Docs forever. And I think a lot of people have gotten used to being able to like edit things in real time. And that was the real time factor that I thought was so cool. I had no idea WordPress was going to do or could do.
Do you think that could be the next wow factor in terms of Gutenberg? I mean, full site editing is big, but to the outside world, I don't think it has been as revolutionary. Because site editing exists, right? It exists outside of WordPress. But hopefully we get this out in video form, but in case you're listening to the audio, everybody's nodding their head. Yes, I just want to make that clear. But I'm imagining the collaboration more than just editing a Google Doc type of a thing. I'm hoping that collaboration also means I'm seeing someone drag a block here while I'm dragging a block over there on the page.
Figma-like.
Yeah. That's the level. Like, we think of collaboration as Google Docs, which is fine because we've grown up with that. Google has nailed that functionality. And over the years, other people have caught up. Even, you know, Apple and other people, took a while for them to polish that out. That wasn't their strength. But now it's, you know, like that's table stakes now in terms of if you're collaborating, if there's any collaboration at all, like unless you're a journal app that it's just you or the author, there has to be some sort of sharing or collaborate, you know, live, you're seeing someone else's cursor on your screen, right? It was built into Apple's OS later on, but Google pretty much set the standard moving forward. But, you know, so that is a standard. So if that is done in WordPress, editing a document, editing text, I'm hoping there's more. And I hope WordPress gets that wow feature factor kind of back, which is difficult to do when you do open source, because it's not like you can't keep something hidden, right? And then release it, because you're not going to get open source contributors doing that. It's all going to be out in the open. So it's not going to be a surprise to us, but I'm hoping that you can start dragging blocks and building pages, like seeing things being built in front of you. And just like, I think it I think it was you about like when that video started, that Gutenberg, about all these people complaining about the editor, and then you saw the new editor. I want to see a video like that when the collaboration tools come and you just see live on a video, or even live, like this whole, how about the slides where somebody should just, like, you know, that meme with the dog and the railroad tracks from Wallace and Gromit. Yeah. You know how he's putting down the railroad tracks really fast. He's building it as the train goes. I would like to see that in slide form in WordCamp State of the Word, maybe, or something along those lines, some live demo or live presentation or really slick video of really cool collaboration tools. So I think
if you put collaboration and multilingual together in one video, it's like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I can understand multilingual, and I understand people's like, why don't you put multilingual before that? Because we really need it. I can understand why it's the last one, because I think that's the most complex part. I think that could be the most complex of all everything. And you want to map your things out probably before you start breaking things up in terms of translations. But yeah, just imagine, especially, I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but like there's a good question we could probably end on real quick. A spot on question. For me, just real quick. My State of the Word was basically 2016 State of the Word. Matt was featuring the year before 2015 was, and I can't believe anybody picked this, but I'm not picking it, but he did say learn JavaScript deeply, I believe, in 2015. And then in 2016, and that's probably his most quoted phrase of any state of the word, was learn JavaScript deeply, 2015.
That's why no one picked it.
Yes. All of you should be proud of yourselves. But that's not the one I'm picking. In 2016, what happened was, after I heard that in 2015, WordCamp Miami was like 4 months away. So I came back as one of the organizers, and I got with the team. We made a Learn JavaScript Deeply trek at WordCamp Miami based upon what he said. Because back then, there was not a lot of focus on JavaScript, and we needed to get up to speed to it real quick. And that's what we did through that trek. But then the following work after that at Miami in 2016, unknown to me, he put like in one of his slides, like a, hold on a second here. I'm going to put it in our chat so you can take a look. He took a screenshot of the, yeah, thanks. You can, if you're going to laugh, okay, mute yourself. Thank you. Everybody right now is, God, I hate you.
That's
all.
That's a lot of hair gel, David.
The sad part is it's not hair gel. The point is that he took a schedule of WordCamp Miami and he put it up there, which was fine because he wanted to feature us getting into JavaScript and listening to his advice a year earlier. But then he found the worst possible picture of me and put it next to it. Now, that's bad for two reasons. One, because that's not, I don't think, a representative of WordCamp Miami, because it wasn't just me. Other organizers were involved, but two, that was just a bad picture. And I remember,
you look so happy.
Well, I was young, and I don't know if I had kids back then. But the point is that I was in the audience and I saw it, and I was live tweeting at the time, and like, you know, I almost had to change my pants. It was just the moment, and it was probably the most embarrassing. And I had people looking at me, going like, "Man, you look just like that guy," and I'm going, "Yeah, that's me." And so I got to be on a slide, just, you know, next time. You know, I wish my PR people would have coordinated with his PR people. So anyway, I'll include a link to that picture in the show notes. But that was probably like the WordCamp 2016. I got on a slide, and I don't think that's going to happen twice. So that'll be etched in history. I'll never get a better picture. Yeah, I look better. You know, we could use another slide. But anyway, that was my story. All right, so. We went from 2019. All of these were WordCamp USs, of course, except for San Francisco in 2014. So I think that's not a surprise there. Actually, 2020 was virtual, so not WordCamp US. So anyway, that was fun. Now, as we wrap things up here, I'm going to go in order one last time, if there's anything real quick you want to bring up, just like we can't be as detailed as we were before, there's going to be rapid fires. Is there anything that we didn't bring up, one or two quick memories that didn't fit into these categories? Aruba, we'll start with you.
I can't think of anything. I am very happy to not have gotten sniped and got all my memories in.
Okay, that's fine. If you're happy, I'm happy. Sarah, is there anything that didn't fit into those categories you've covered over the years that.
Well, I have more that do fit into the categories, but nothing outside the categories. I had a couple other links that I thought were interesting that actually happened at WordCamp Europe. In 2017 in Paris, Matt announced that the Gutenberg plugin was ready for testing. And I thought it was kind of cool because he hadn't been doing big announcements at WordCamp Europe. I mean, he would usually save all the big announcements for WordCamp US. So that was like a major thing that the European WordPress community got to be first in on, or, you know, they got to hear the news first. And then in the next year, like 1 year later, I think it was June 2018, when he unveiled the roadmap for how Gutenberg was getting into core, and it was just like months away, which started like all the people were just scrambling to get ready at that point, because he was like, okay, here it comes. We're going to go for it in 5.0. And that was an exciting time. I remember I contacted probably like 10 or 15 different people who had freelance businesses or agencies. And I said, what are y'all doing to get ready? And then I wrote this post about
morphine,
you know, some people were like, I'm just going to wait and see. And I'll see if anyone likes this block editor or not. And maybe I'll update.
Some people are still doing that.
And then, you know, and then there are others who are like, oh, we've already dedicated an entire team to get us ready for Gutenberg. And we're already, you know, they're giving a very good, just very good PR as far as their readiness for it. And that was a fun time. So I thought that was cool that he had given both of those big announcements at WordCamp Europe years later, once that was just, it was established as just, I think it was the biggest WordCamp for a long time.
Yeah. Agreed. So Jess, anything we missed?
This is probably going to sound way cheesier when I say it than it is in my head.
You're on a panel with me. You're safe.
Okay, cool.
Standing next to me, you are the opposite of cheese.
Mr. Rogers, you know, he's quoted as saying, you know, when he was afraid, his mom would tell him to look for the helpers. And when I think about the history of WordPress, I think about the people in the community and the countless, you know, GoFundMes, and somebody gets sick and they can't work, or their kid gets hurt, or, you know, during COVID when so many different things were upside down. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the really cool technology, but what's been amazing to me is to see people that have come together over the years and all the cool things that they're doing to support one another. Even as recently as like last week, everybody was pitching in to help somebody who somehow found themselves homeless. You know, it's been really, really cool to see so many good people join together under the umbrella and all the good that we do for open source and personal. I told you it was going to sound kind of cheesy, but I mean it.
Well, there are so many different aspects of the WordPress community that could fit into. Kim Parsons, do I have that name right?
Yes.
Okay. Not the first example of a member of the community passing away, but she was well known by a lot of people, and which started the WordCamp
scholarship.
Right. I'm sorry. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks. So. She is just one example of so many. Like, we have scholarships for diversities now for other people. There was I can think of a half a dozen people that have passed away over the years too that I've gotten there. Every year we remember them, and that's very unique for a community to do something like that, even on regardless of the scale. So. Yeah, the community really kind of pitches together, and we also kind of have fun too. We do podcasts like this, of our own free will, except for that one person I'm blackmailing to be on this panel today. But other than that, we're doing this because we are a tight-knit community. So yeah, I think that's great. I think that's a great thing to keep in mind over the past 20 years, you know. And there's drama, but I mean, we're still a collective group for the most part. So finally,
Sarah mentioned earlier, people mm-hmm. are growing up together.
Yeah. Bringing their own kids to WordCamps, right? Somebody supposedly conceived one at WordCamp Miami. I don't know that. So that's not at the event. I meant during the weekend. Okay. Uh-huh. We're going to have to edit that one out. All right. Moving on.
Wait. I take it back. There is one like link thing that I wanted to talk about.
Oh.
And that was when.
As soon as I started talking about conceiving children at work camps, her eyes lit up. Maestro, you're going to have to go ahead. Go ahead.
You'll be
ahead
back.
Over, but yeah.
Yeah. That was when WooCommerce joined WordPress. That was a moment.
Oh,
it
wow.
was a big moment, right? Because WooCommerce, like WooThemes, they were doing so well. And they had become the fast, like the most popular e-commerce system in like everywhere on the web. And then Automattic, it was like the one, like a really big, notable acquisition from Automattic. Before that, I have no idea actually if they had done any other acquisitions before then, but that one was like, it started the train of acquisitions a little bit. And it was like, oh, we were democratizing publishing, and now we're democratizing e-commerce. And I was like, democratizing like all kinds of other things, social media, et cetera, right? But WooCommerce really, really began that sort of moment in time right? For Automattic and like how it affected all of us in the WordPress community.
Speaking of acquisitions, you can't go with 20 years of WordPress without talking about the acquisitions they've made in the last decade, right? We saw the first decade of all these people that were starting companies, like Saeed Automotive, but also Pippin, and like all these people I'm drawing on right now. The first 10 years, you would see them with WordCamps, and then most of them have moved on or sold their businesses or become acquired. And who's, you know, especially the last 5 or 6 years, so many WordPress companies that we saw give birth in the early part of the WordPress days now are more mature, or they've been absorbed into larger companies, and people that were working out of their basements are now like managing like dozens of people at high level companies. And the hosting companies too, right? Remember when hosting was so immature in the early days? And acquisitions, when you said that, I remember, I think it's more recent, but in August of 2019, Tumblr joined Automattic, which was huge. And yes. I think we still have to see the ultimate fruits of that labor, because we're starting to see Gutenberg and Tumblr now.
Mm-hmm. And Day One, which was in the news pretty recently as well, the journaling app.
Yeah. So, and then I think that if anything is going to outlive, like what Matt said, if anything's going to outlive WordPress, it's going to be Gutenberg, right? That's the ultimate. So it's so exciting to see how Automattic's non-WordPress business, not directly. We used to think of Automattic as WordPress.com, but over the years with its acquisitions, it's now so much more, but it's affecting WordPress in ways that I didn't think we ever would realize 10 or 15 years ago. So, Maestro, are you with us?
I am back. Sorry about that. My computer was freezing, so I had to start it.
No problem,
sir. It's overheating.
Oh, yeah. You're just too hot. All right. So, okay. I'm going to have to... I won a bet with my wife just now. Just thought I'd let you know. Said something like that. All right. So, Maestro, bring it home for us. Is there anything about that we may not have touched on tonight in terms of your things in the WordPress history, especially from your perspective?
I can't think of anything. I think that we've touched on mostly everything. I would say for me specifically, back in 2020, when I was introduced to one of the plugins, themes and block plugins that I use in Cadence, it was a very revolutionary experience for me, to say the least. I was using Elementor. I was using Page Builder before then. People were talking a lot of crap about Gutenberg, a lot of controversy. I'm just keeping it real with you. People were saying it was ready. It wasn't ready. And then, after testing a whole bunch of different plugins and themes, and they're all, a whole bunch of them are so great. But if I wanted to invest into an ecosystem, kind of like Apple, unfortunately, that's my investment with Apple kind of suck right now, because I'm like, I got this expensive ass computer that just overheated. But I digress. That changed everything.
Well, thanks. Okay.
Maybe. Yeah. That changed everything for me.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, I mean, I think I think we have a very good representation here, and you especially, because you're coming in on the last couple of years and seeing it from that kind of different perspective with those kinds of eyes, is kind of now in 20 years, we'll be able to get from your point of view in like the midterm, like the golden years, not the golden years, the kind of a golden age we're entering into WordPress right now. So very, very excited to have you back along with everyone else in a few years and see if your MacBook survives so we can talk to you a little bit more. So I wanted to, what's that?
Just to touch on what you just said real quick, I think that based on what everybody has talked about, you just made a good point. So if I can give any context, like I'm not an old schooler here. So I'm really trying to help a different type of generation and new type of people. I'm just keeping it 100% honest with you. That's the reason why I coined myself, and I'm called the Fresh Prince of WordPress, because I'm trying to give a fresh perspective.
Oh,
a lot of people have no idea.
Does that make me the... Carlton.
That was a good one. I see where you're going with that one. No Will Smith here. I don't slap people.
All right.
But still, the good. Whole point was that people don't know that it has evolved a lot. And there is a lot of people trying to enter into WordPress without that understanding that it's not what it used to be. So I love having conversations with people like you all, because I get both perspectives. I get people who have been there for 10, 20 years. And I get people who have never heard of it, trying to get it in. And they're like, I can't do all that development stuff and all that code stuff and all that. And I have to teach them, like, it's not that. It's not the same. You have that opportunity, but it's not that. So I think that this is fun.
Yeah. And I, Maestro and I, this is the first time we've been face to face. He actually reached out to an invitation that I left on BlockPress, which again is one of the many examples of how the community is trying to address all the different aspects that it can in terms of diversity and outreach and finding new people, young, old, whatever. And I really appreciate you reaching out to me through there. It's great to have all these different kinds of channels, at least it because not everybody is in post status, not everybody is on Twitter, not everybody is here for various reasons. We can only be in so many channels at once, right? And it's personal to us. So, you know, I'm in my channels because it's because of me, my livelihood, my background. I'm in these certain places. I can't be everywhere. And everybody else is different, but we overlap in such ways that finding you in that area was a very, very, very thankful that you reached out. Because otherwise we wouldn't have that kind of perspective and viewpoint from that. So anyway, I'm going to go around and we're just going to close out. It was great having you all. And I want you can mention where people can find you on social, you know, or whatever you want to mention to bring up. We'll start with Aruba first.
All right. Well, I'm at Aruba pretty much everywhere, including a website, aruba.com. I'm also the co-host of a fun dev-focused podcast called ViewSource. If you want to check that out, viewsource.fm. And that's me.
Sarah?
Nice being here.
I appreciate you, Rupa, coming on, and I don't mean to rush. I'm just get nervous when things close down, and you know that my kids are still locked in that closet, and I really do need to feed them. So I'm not pushing this along by on purpose, but you know I'm getting a little nervous. Sarah, I don't know where people can find you. Can you help me out on that?
You can always find me at the tavern, wptavern.com, and I'm on Twitter at Polly Plummer. I'm on Mastodon, Facebook, Strava. I'm on almost every social network. So get a hold of me any way you want. Slack. I'm on PostStatus and then the WordPress Slack.
Yes, I'm on a lot too. Anything that doesn't have my family, I'm there. I just want to also say too, special call out to WP Tavern. I forget when it was established. But it was so early on. I think
2009.
It is practically part of WordPress history. It should be put on a podium in terms of WordPress history media. I think the tavern is top of that list. So I really, Sarah, all the WordPress community kind of owes you a debt of gratitude. I know it's not an easy job, believe me. I know Jeff was the one who started. We're going to have him on the other podcast, but you have been so instrumental over the years. The entire publication has been instrumental over the years, covering the highs and the lows and the detail for the articles. You did a terrific job. I'll thank Jeff on the other one, but I wanted to thank you personally here. You've been so much a part of the WordPress history, just as much as the community and WordPress has. So
thank you, David. I appreciate that.
Jess, where people can find you? Oh, God, I'm starting to sound like Yoda. That was barely a sentence.
It was great.
Where people find you, B?
Where people find me, B?
Oh,
Pressable.com. Pressable.com for work. You can find me on the socials at Renewable. And like the other ladies, I'm pretty much everywhere. So not hard to find.
Okay.
Not too many Jessica Fricks running around in WordPress.
Oh, well, that's a problem.
Not too many Fricks in general, but.
If I had enough energy, I could comment on that. Maestro.
I know.
Maestro.
I teed it up for you.
Thank you. And I missed, as usual. Maestro, where can people find you?
I'll piggyback off of Jessica. There's not many people with the name Maestro Stevens. So if you Google me, I'm the one and only. And if you want to find me, just look for me on LinkedIn.
Okay, that's fine. Fantastic. You're avoiding most of the socials like I should be doing right now. If anybody wants to find me, As long as you're not delivering papers to me, you can find me at davidbissett.com or davidbissett.social. That's where I pull all my social media into one WordPress website. So in case certain social media websites cease to exist, at least my posts will be there. You can also find me on PostStatus, and I am doing a little news website called wpfront.page. So with WordPress news with my daughter, as we experiment a little bit with that, if that's, you may be able to, that still might be around by the time you listen to this. So go ahead and check that out. Again, I want to thank my panelists. You've been great sports. We're going to have links to everything they talked about in the show notes for this. And thanks again, everybody.